Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce Podcast.
Come on, good morning.
Put
some fucking energy into it, please.
Put your nuts
good
into
afternoon,
it.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
I had to wake up extra early this morning, Lewis. I need you to pep me up.
What time did you get up?
I've been up extra early this morning.
This sounds like a story that we should go into then. What's going on? Why are you up extra early?
Normally
you're up early with the kids, right?
The plumber had to come and fix my shower. Did I tell you guys about my shower not working?
Oh, no.
Is that the one which has been busted for the entirety of the lockdown? So you have to have a bath instead of a shower every day?
Yeah.
I can't believe that. You've got a family of four people having baths every morning. Like some Victorian. Can I go in next, Daddy?
Daddy goes first, washes off the grime.
I've got one of those showers that's like on legs, you know, it's got those little legs like underneath the base part to like lift it up off the floor. You ever see those?
Yeah, you've got one of those giant marble bathrooms with they're called feet, aren't they?
Yes.
On the bath.
Yeah,
it's raised up off the ground.
That's right.
And you go in there and it's just all filled with bubbles.
That's
and
right.
And you're just lying in there.
Yes.
Like a stewing
listening to techno
chicken
with a laser show and trying to have a shower, which I haven't been able to do for months now. So water got in behind the shower somehow. It leaked. And underneath, because it's like a tiled bathroom, but underneath there's a square cut out for the pipes and stuff to go down. And then there's just some plywood or whatever.
Yeah, it's like one of those hidden tile panels. Yeah.
One of the legs at the back was resting on this plywood, which had gotten all wet. And then the back leg of the shower base sinking,
gave way,
whatever, the fucking silicone, the seal stuff, you seal the
this
bottom.
Is a very dad level conversation. Grouting. The grouting's got all
that. It's not the grouting is different.
It's the sealant.
Nah, mate, it's not your grouting, it's your seals, it's your silicone. All we got to do, we got to scrape out the old silicone and gun in some new stuff.
I thought that grouting and silicone was the same thing.
No, grouting is like a sort of...
It's like a mini cement. It goes between tiles.
Sort of thing, yeah.
It dries and it holds the tiles in place.
I thought that's the same thing, though.
No.
I thought a lot of the times they used to use
you
that
don't,
sealant. No.
You don't use silicone sealant for in-between tiles. That would be...
Yeah, it wouldn't hold the tiles. The silicone sealant has some flex to it.
Yeah.
They'd be rubberized tiles, so you get this rubbery...
You put the silicone at the joint, because when you fill a bath and get in, it moves down a little bit. So if you just had grouting there, you're going to crack your grouting, mate. What you want is silicone, because it's got some give to it.
That's right.
Right.
So... Now, what's happened after a while is it's sunk down, the seal has peeled off and allowed for more water to trickle down in behind it, and that the problem has just gotten worse and worse.
It exacerbates.
And worse.
Yeah, it does.
So now they've had to take out the whole unit, they got to replace all the plywood, they got to seal it up again and stuff. But hopefully,
fingers crossed,
all things going well, today I'll be back in the saddle, baby, taking a nice steamy shower. Mm-mm-mm.
Do you reckon you're gonna do that the first thing you do when it's fixed? You're gonna go in there and just have a shower, even though it'll be like 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Are you gonna just do a weird afternoon?
Well,
shower?
I'm on an afternoon shower schedule now. I don't shower first thing in the morning. I shower at night.
Unusual.
I shower at 5 o'clock at night. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to wash the day off.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, you feel all nice and clean for the evening, and then you go to bed. You're like. Relatively clean. You know, you shower first thing in the morning, you go to bed, you're filthy. You're like, you got a gross, greasy film on you and shit. Like, you jump into bed with that on. Like, it's kind of gross, no?
No, I get it. Like, I don't mind washing multiple times per day.
Nah, there's no way. That is wasteful. I would never have two showers a day. Unless it was super hot. If it was really hot, maybe I would have another shower at night.
If it's a sweaty summery day, you can sometimes have a shower. Or you've done something that left you sweaty. I always struggle with this. Like the morning shower. I'm a, I, whether you, because a lot of people do exercise in the morning. They do a run.
Lots of people.
Or
yeah.
a fucking get to the gym.
Yeah.
One thing I did yesterday was Ring Fit. Have
What's
you
that?
Seen Ring Fit? It's like a, it's like the latest Switch Wii Fit exercise
right.
thing. And so it's a video game with a ring mm-hmm. and you put the controller in.
Sounds almost too good to be true.
Right.
Does it?
Playing a video game to stay fit. Yeah.
Yes.
We've been down this road before, I'm sure.
It's not very good.
No.
But anyway, it's okay. I tried it out. I had to, I put all my stats in, my height and my weight and my age and God, like it's sort of and how much exercise I do. It's like not very much, nor is anyway.
No.
I started playing this thing and you have to kind of, it's like Temple Run, right? So you know when you're like doing one of those runners where you run through a map, right? But you have to jog to keep yourself going through the map on the spot. And if you jog faster, you run faster. So you could sort of rush to this thing. You could jump at things by like boosting yourself up, squeezing this ring. And also when you fight a battle against like either a boss or just like a pleb, you have to like do exercises. So one of them is like squats.
Right.
Right. And one of them is like sit-ups basically. And so I had to do, I'm not even joking, like 50 squats to kill this boss. And I was like, fucking, what am I doing with my life? Just stood in my lounge doing 50 squats to kill like
yeah,
a fucking
really?
Cartoon
dragon. Who designed
dragon.
This? Like Satan? Jeez.
It was really odd because like there's this dragon standing there.
Right.
And he's like going, rah. And you're like doing a squat, and each time you do a squat, a little like fist comes out of the ground and like fists him up the ass.
Jesus.
And I was like, what the fuck? And so he goes, ah, and then you do another squat and you do it again. It was so fucking, I might do it again, but I just felt like, anyway, afterwards I was really sweaty but I'd had a shower already. And so I was like, I just had a shower and now I've done this exercise. Do I now have another shower? So I had another shower. I didn't.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? That's two showers already.
Yeah, that's
and
a lot of showers.
You're saying
yeah.
that, I mean, you have to almost have that second shower. That's required, right?
If you've done something that requires you to be exerting yourself physically, yes. Especially if you get really sweaty.
But I was always told that when you were doing yoga, you should always do it with like a clean body kind of thing. So you're supposed to like do the exercise with being clean.
Right.
So does that like, I don't know what the etiquette is. A lot of people, like you would say, it's greedy. Use the pool of water.
I think in a general sense though, if you're washing every day, you're clean. Like once a day washing is quite a lot of washing in the grand scheme of things. You know, think of all the people in the world. Some people don't wash every day, but we do wash every day. So I would say that we're in general pretty clean, you know? So I think it's safe to say whenever you approach yoga, your body's clean. Even if you feel like a little bit pongy.
You think comparatively speaking.
Comparatively, you are clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking about showers, I knew someone who that was their sort of way to get off, right? They would use the running, the friction of the running water. They would spray it on their...
This is a lady you're talking about.
It's a lady.
Yeah.
She would spray it on her private area.
That's not really unusual.
And so as a result, they would end up taking quite a lot of showers and for quite a long time.
I bet.
So, but some people get that in their routine. Is that okay, or is that like a big waste? Sips?
If you have time, what are you talking about? A big waste of water?
I don't know. Like, I'm always concerned that
we live in the UK. It rains every day. I think it's okay. I mean, I know that we have droughts occasionally where we're running out of water, but that's not, if you're doing it during a drought, I disagree. But most of the time in the UK, it's raining, isn't it? Come on.
All right. Picture yourself in you remember when David Blaine did that thing where he was in a see-through box and he didn't eat for like 40 days
I'm
or something?
I'm in a box and I'm not going to eat for a week.
He was like hoisted up.
What an exciting guy.
He was hoisted up in a public square or something.
I remember that. Wasn't it near Tate Modern or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Okay, so imagine a similar box is suspended above a poor village in Africa or something, right? How comfortable would you feel being suspended in that box, A, taking a really long unnecessary shower, B, masturbating while you're taking this really long, unnecessary shower. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's kind of like, it's one of those things where you're doing it at the time, you're not really thinking about like any of the consequences of doing it, right? You're just like, I'm just taking this really nice shower or whatever.
But what's the consequence of that to Africa?
No, I'm just saying, like, as an example, I don't know if there's any direct consequence
consequence
in Africa, but would you feel bad when knowing that you were like amongst a lot of people who have not much or not as much as you or whatever.
I think you're just sort of really
indulging yourself in a fairly wasteful way.
I would feel bad if I was there in a box showing off my long shower.
What if it was like
abilities?
A glass box?
Yeah, yeah.
A fully glass box and they were seeing you.
It's an example though. I'm not saying that you would actually be doing that. It's just like, how comfortable would you feel like knowing that people with nothing knew that you did that? Would you still do it?
Would you feel more comfortable being watched by a load of villagers who see you naked, jacking it in the shower? Or would you be more
I'd be mortified if somebody was watching me jacking it in the shower, but
it depends if they were also jacking it in the shower. Then maybe it's like a little moment.
It's kind of the same as people who are really outspoken on like social media, but not in their day-to-day or real life, you know? Like, it's like the people that have no problem being really outspoken about a topic and writing just reams and reams of tweets or Reddit posts or whatever, but would never say these things like in a public space, right? Like in an auditorium where people would be able to like call them up on things or whatever, you know what I mean? It's kind of the same thing. You're in a private space doing something and you don't really think about it, right? You don't really think about it because there's no context for anybody else to call you up on what you might be doing wrong or anything like that, right?
So do you think that it's healthy to live your life thinking that whatever you're doing in privacy, gosh, what would other people think if they saw me doing this, is essentially what you're saying. Especially if you're comparing the relative luxury of taking a very long shower with the deprivations of poor people.
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of saying that, but not extremely saying that. You know what I mean?
No.
I think if you had in the back of your mind most times a thought for others, for example, not even people with nothing, you might do things differently. I think that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of worried about that
thought process. I mean, it makes it very difficult to enjoy the benefits of living in a Western democracy if you're constantly thinking, gosh, I feel bad because some people don't have access to this kind of thing. I mean, it's all right to occasionally think that, but I think if that's all you think, what are you going to do? I mean,
I'm not saying this. You're consumed by this. I'm saying that you have some inkling or, you know,
occasionally
some,
I think
some occasional
I'm very
thoughts.
Fortunate. I do think I sometimes when I'm in the shower and then get downstairs and look at all the appliances and stuff, my microwave, for example.
Yes.
And I'm thinking how lucky that we live in a country where, and also if I order something online, it can get there the next day. I've ready access to the internet, to free information, to, you know, non-censorship and all that kind of stuff. But we're very fortunate.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as long as you recognize that and accept that there are definite places in the world where things suck, I don't think you need to change your lifestyle as long as you're not damaging the environment unnecessarily or harming people or stealing or anything like that. Like, I think just living your life,
I mean,
with the standards that we've got, you know, what can you do? What are you meant to apologize constantly
for? What's it cost, like however much a shower costs? It costs like 5p.
It's the energy, right? I suppose the thing is, if you think about the energy cost of taking a half hour shower so you can have a wank in the shower.
Yeah.
If you did that every day.
Get really, really saucy with the shower head.
That's a lot of time. And that is a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to pay for it. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that's on you.
I think that's it, isn't it? Like, eventually you are paying. I'd like to know how much that costs, because other people's fetishes, I'm sure people spend more than the cost of a shower.
Oh, yeah. Shower fetish has to be the cheapest. That's got to be one of the cheapest going. I mean, apart from pavement fucking, we know that's a cheap one, and bicycle fucking.
Yeah. You know. It's just, I think it's just something interesting to think about. I'm not saying I'm guilty of all of these things that I'm, you know, it seems like I'm condemning or whatever. Like,
okay.
Yeah, I will take longer showers sometimes or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, but I just think it's interesting to think that it, what I said before, it's interesting to think that you might do things differently, right? If you thought that other people were judging you, like in terms that you're not used to, right?
You know, I wonder if part of the sort of the very aggressive response that there's been in some quarters to, let's say, climate change, that crisis, is that because it's a thing that exists, people feel judged.
Yeah.
And they feel like if you say cut down on unnecessary energy usage, try not to drive, they feel judged. And when people feel judged, they tend to respond very negatively. And they feel like, well, what are you telling me what to do? And then they get very sort of combative. And I think that's part of the problem. People aren't looking, like you said, there are definitely problems with taking half-hour showers so you can have a wank. I'm sure that's an issue.
Yeah.
If everybody did it, the energy costs would be very high and all the rest of it. I get it.
But the response to that is you just go up the price of water and...
Are you kidding me? Do you know how much I pay for water already?
I don't know if that helps really, though, just upping the price of stuff, because I think people will...
That's how the economy works.
I know,
though, right?
But I think people are so like unconscious when it comes to things like this. You know, you don't necessarily notice... increases in like the cost
right.
of water.
You're not going to look at your electricity bill and be like, oh yeah.
Some people do, don't get me wrong. Some people really analyze every minute detail of their electric bill.
The majority of people
don't really notice that kind of stuff.
I mean, having said that, the congestion charge that they brought into London, it's like, what do they call it? Not a behavioral tax. Someone will know what it's called. I read a book, The Undercover Economist. I'm sure I've mentioned it before. Tim Harford,
like
I think.
It's like a clever way to
manipulating people, yeah. And essentially you just say...
Yeah, like the plastic bag tax.
Exactly,
like,
which has had an actual
effect. I almost always
effect.
Take a plastic bag because I don't want to pay 10p for a bag. And also I feel like I get judged.
Exactly,
I feel like
exactly.
It's really worked. It really has worked to like stop me using
plastic. Like if you
bags.
Have to ask for a bag, because they don't just give them to you. You have to say, may I have a bag? And they sort of give you that little look and then get the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, like, I know that the plastic bag usage in the UK has really gone down.
I am all for being manipulated by the government. Anyway.
let's talk about how the man likes to keep things behind invisible walls. And
right.
like you've said previously, Lewis, when you want to watch a show in America and for some bizarre reason it's not available here in Europe, a VPN will get you there.
That's right. The Trifles podcast is sponsored, thank you, PFLAGS.
You're very welcome.
By ExpressVPN. You can get it on your iPad or whatever. It's nice to just do it in privacy without the man watching you.
The man. Where that man be from?
Yeah.
Or women, I'm sure, are watching as well.
Jeez.
Although I like to think they're better than that.
I don't know. It's like, especially since it's not private, you know, your internet service providers are legally obliged to pass things on to government agencies.
Right, right.
And
they
even,
are?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know. So anyway, there you go. ExpressVPN.com/Triforce. You can get 3 months for free.
Boom.
And we also support it. Thanks, everyone. Please enjoy the rest of the show. Interestingly, read an article a couple of weeks ago on Colony about a guy who keeps disappearing into the bathroom with a stick of butter.
Yes, I read that too.
Yeah, it was an amazing
was
post.
Was there ever... So, summarize it, Lulu.
So I've just got it here. I can read it. I have been dating my boyfriend for 2 years and we finally moved in together. Ever since we moved in, I've seen a new side to him. It's a very odd issue and I can't wrap my head around what to do. Some people have accused this of being fake, but I swear this is a real situation I'm dealing with. I don't know what else to say, but it's bizarre. At first, I started to notice butter was disappearing quickly.
Right.
I assumed maybe I lost track of how much we had, or maybe he was cooking when I wasn't around. I don't know. But one night, a few weeks ago, I saw him try to stealthily take a stick of butter from the fridge, which I pretended not to notice, and he took the butter with him into the bathroom. I have noticed my boyfriend spending an hour or more of time in the bathroom.
Hour or more?
Oh.
But I never saw him take the butter before. I was very confused. So when he came out of the bathroom an hour later, I saw no sign of the butter. But I also saw he did not put the butter back in the fridge. It was gone. I tried to subtly keep an eye on him, and over a week he did this 3 separate times, and each time a stick of butter disappeared.
A whole stick?
A stick,
A whole stick of butter? A
whole stick.
Finally, I said one day, where did all our butter go? I hardly used any this week and it's all gone. He pretended to not know and said maybe we just forgot to buy it. I said no, we had 4 sticks before, now they're gone. He just acted like it was a mystery and said, guess we should order some more groceries. By now, I was getting very confused. So I ordered groceries and made a point of saying, good to finally have 4 sticks of butter. This should last us quite a while.
Oh, my God.
He made no comment. On the first 2 days, whenever I used a small amount of butter, I would remark about how much butter we had left. Oh. Finally, one day I saw him do it again. He took a stick of butter into the bathroom, was gone for an hour or so, and came back with no butter. I couldn't believe it. So when I made dinner, I acted shocked that one stick of butter was gone. He said, maybe we only had 3, but he knew I'd be making a point of it. The very next day, another stick of butter was gone. I listened at the bathroom door and heard sink water running and thought I heard moaning. I was very confused. Finally, this time when he came out, I said, I know he has been taking butter into the bathroom. He got all flustered and said I must be mistaken. But I said I had literally seen him take butter into the bathroom and come out without it, and that I knew he has been lying to me about the quantity of butter in our fridge. He started apologizing and said, let's just not talk about it. But when he saw I was getting mad, he said, what if I order my own separate private butter? I was like, okay, but what are you doing with the butter? He asked me to promise him to never ask about his butter activities again and just put it behind us.
Oh my God. He said,
just look the other way on this one thing, and stressed how this is not a big deal at the end of the day. But I have been so confused and even worried about it. Like, what is he doing with
shoving
the butter?
Shoving it up his butt.
Why was he lying about it? Why won't he tell me?
You don't want to shove butter up your butt,
though. He's eating it because he is not an overweight guy. And I feel like if someone ate that much butter, they'd become hefty. But he shows no sign of it.
Okay, give me 2 seconds. I just have to go let this guy out of my house quick.
And, oh, no, we've triggered Sid.
He's
going
to get some butter.
Because the plumber's here. I will go get some butter, but I have something important to say when I get back, okay? I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Do it.
Well, I mean,
Is there any doubt in your mind that dude is doing sex stuff with that butter?
Well, first of all, I think this is like one thing. It's a little bit of a test just to see how dirty you really are, you know, because some of the comments in this thread were very much like they had some really messed up ideas on what he was possibly doing, right?
I mean, I don't know whether he kind of folds it into a circle and fucks it. I don't know. I don't know if he sort of shoves it up his butt. I'm trying to think what he could do.
I couldn't
do
really
it.
Think beyond. But there were people saying like there's like a wet and messy fetish.
Well, so he like covers himself in water and butter.
Well, you know, I don't know what. Like, obviously, these things get out of control, don't they? You know, people
I feel like if it was something indiscreet,
right,
involving a lot of mess, there would be evidence of that mess. Like, he's going to miss something. Like, if she was like,
right,
there was butter all over the ceiling, or there's like a film of grease, because he'd have to take some serious cleaning products. If he's doing anything with the butter that involves getting it all over the place,
it's very oily.
I think there's going to be evidence. There's going to be greasy spots. Because butter's very greasy. It's hard to clean. You get butter, like when you're making a cake, you get butter all over your hands. It takes fucking ages to get all that shit off. There's no way.
Oh my God.
That he's doing something super messy.
Well, it's gross too. It's a dairy product. So if it's not cleaned up properly, the bacteria that can like form off the
it'll
back
smell
of that is
real
really
bad,
fucking
right?
gross.
Oh
too.
My God. They need to get the CSI guys in there, right? And go into the bathroom with one of those like spray things that they have the luminol in. But instead of luminol,
yeah,
it's
with
like
the
jam.
Little, the gun, right? Yeah, yeah.
I could not continue in a relationship with somebody where there was something like that, where it's like
a mystery.
Don't ask me
about
this.
I don't
want to
date a mystery person.
I don't want to talk about this one thing. I would just be like, okay, sorry,
yeah,
I'm done.
I feel like
there's no way I would put up with that.
No,
it's all right though, isn't it, for people to have a private life?
It's okay to have a private life, but that's like extreme compartmentalization, isn't it? It's like really, there's no way that anybody should be okay with that.
He's very ashamed about it, though, or at least feels like he has to keep it private from his partner. And
there's obviously
I feel like
shame, a lot of shame, right?
Yeah, and I feel like you shouldn't necessarily, if you're into something weird, just fucking go ahead and share that shit with your partner. Like, what's the worst that can happen?
They'll either support you or they won't. And then at least you know either way. You know, if they decide that that's too much for them, then you just...
I think you'll find that most people are willing to give it a go, even if they're like, you know, they want you to be happy, Mr. Butterman.
I'm not sure if I would be up for giving anything to do with butter a go, though, other than like using it as a baking ingredient or like to put on my toast or whatever.
So like in fact,
I'm not into the whole like food on my.
This actually was written. This story was actually written by a woman. And you want to know the real reason why your bath plug was all blocked up, Sips?
It was full of butter. Like all.
It's your wife who's been squashing that butter down the plug butter hole down there. With the, she's just using it to wash her hair, actually, because it gives it a really luxuriant shine.
Right.
A totally innocent reason.
Right.
How do you feel? How would you feel just finding that out? Would you be relieved?
I would be like, I would do like a fucking dirty den on EastEnders at Christmas. I'd be like, here's a letter from my
here's a letter from my solicitor,
and I would fucking slap the divorce papers right down. I'd be like, this is unacceptable butter-related behavior.
Would the butter-related fetish work with I can't believe it's not butter or any spreadable butter? Or
no.
Does it have to be butter?
For me personally, I don't know about you guys. I do not like the whole like putting like chocolate syrup on my dick and balls, or like, you know, putting strawberry jam up my ass. And I don't like food sex, like food stuff, you know what I mean? Like,
agreed.
Put whipped cream all over my my dick and blow me.
Like, I don't even like it when you see there's porn, especially porn related to large breasted women, where they cover themselves in food.
Yeah, that's
and
gross. I
just
don't
think
like that.
Just have a shower and then we'll get down to it. But
do you think that they would feel comfortable doing that in a glass box suspended above an African village?
Well, they've got their face all over the internet with the whipped cream all over their tits, so it's just one more gig, isn't it? I guess.
I mean, yeah, I don't like the whole food angle. It's not for me, and for that reason, I'm out.
Have you guys ever wondered, talking about porn, why
I'm still reeling from the Dirty Den reference.
Why are there no Amazon star reviews of sex? I was thinking of like Amazon reviews for sex would be, I tried some sex as ordered and was a little disappointed. Whilst it was fun at the time, I did feel afterwards that it had a lot of consequences that were not advertised.
Yeah, I've read
when I first started using sex. Like, where's those reviews? The honest reviews.
There have been. There are some available. I remember reading a thread on Something Awful years ago about this very thing. It was a website where people were able to review prostitutes, basically.
Oh, no, yeah, I know that. That's Punter.
I mean,
that's
called the dark web.
Punternet. I think it's called Punternet.
No, but this was the most depressing, miserable read ever.
Yeah, no,
like,
it
I
is.
I actually like felt...
That website's still going.
That was horrible.
I occasionally check in. I remember that thread.
Yeah.
And I remember being fascinated by it. And I still check in occasionally.
This is like, but this is like the Reader's Wives segment of
no,
Playboy.
No, it's not. It's stripped of any attempt at glamour.
No, like, there's not like... They don't refer to my throbbing love pump and stuff. There's nothing like that. It's like,
it's very methodical.
It's very, it's like, yeah, I turned up after and she said that she needed $20. She took her pants off and she stunk real bad. And it was like, it's like all these miserable experiences with people who have just no business doing any of these things. And
like, it's sad people having sex with sex.
But I think the modern equivalent is probably like, I don't know, like Tinder date reports,
right, but this,
almost. Like reading that.
A date is like this. This is so.
This is very personal.
Yeah, it's very personal. It's described a little bit about like the way you would describe. Like, imagine we met up at a someone else's wedding. We might describe the route we took to get there. So would you take the M4 and then come off at Swindon? Yeah, just came off at Swindon, took a left there. It's like that. Like, that's
what
they
describe.
Oh my God,
it's like the Triforce podcast. So I just had to let the plumber around. So I had my shower wasn't working because my wife's been washing
her
with
butter
and it's all gunged up. So I haven't washed me, so I was all greasy and I stank.
It's sad. It's really sad at the same time.
I'm just thinking the butter is, it tends to be, is it Lady O' the Lakes or Land O' Lakes butter? And there's a picture of a Native American woman, very pretty, on the packet. I wonder if he's got a fetish related to her specifically.
Maybe.
Well, what's the commercial? Is it Clover? Clover's the one where people cry in the commercial, right? we all love Clover. You know that one? And they're always like, there's always some dude with a tear running down his cheek, like as he's about to eat some corn or like
buttered toast
or buttering his toast, and he looks at his wife and there's a tear in his eye and stuff. Yeah.
And she's thinking this is a terrible waste of butter.
Maybe it was Clover butter. Maybe
it's the wrong hole.
Maybe he just needed to feel something a couple of times a week, you know? Like he'd just look at the butter, stare at it intensely, and then just like tear would form in his eye and stuff. Just loves Clover.
This is very common. Like I think like people seeing people's like stories of this sort of stuff. And I don't know, like it's like amateur porn though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? People want to hear the real gritty stuff.
I don't think
hear
they do.
All sad and depressing. I don't think many people are getting off over these really grimy.
I don't think they do. I think it's a tragedy, a lot of this stuff.
There's so many weird little fetishes out
we
there.
We read this stuff and we're interested in it and stuff, but there's people, these people have lived this life and have been affected by this. Like I would feel like such shit if that was me and I had those experiences in my brain that I remembered from time to time. I would feel horrible.
Everyone's got shit that they are embarrassed about or awkward. Like everyone's got like, I don't know, like stories.
That's
about
extreme
how
though. That's something that would come back. Like that's traumatic. I think, I think that's something that would play on your mind more so than the time you accidentally smashed your friend's mom's window or with a baseball or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I remember having to, I don't know, having to crap in the wood or something.
I've had to crap in the woods before. I don't feel bad about that. And it's not something I really think about very often. It's just, I had to crap in the woods one time. If I have paid somebody to have sex and they took their pants off and it stunk and I had this miserable, intimate experience with them afterwards, I would remember that forever. And it would bother me until the end of my time.
God, you know, it reminds me of a friend of mine. He used to go to prostitutes quite often.
Oh, God.
He was the kind of guy. He's a very... he has a lot of sex, this guy.
Right.
And
is this a friend of yours?
Not really. He was a guy I used to play video games with a long time ago. And he used to be like, he would go to bars, he would meet people online, go to bars, get picked up by their wife, and then go home and have sex with their wife in front of them. So he was what do they call that, like he would cuck people, right? For, you know, like by agreement.
Professional cuck.
Yeah. Yes.
Cucker. I automatically am dubious of this guy, right?
It's I guarantee you this is 100%.
I reckon he's meeting these people online and meeting them in bars. I don't think he's going to I don't think he's actually going to bars picking up wives.
You are wrong.
Okay.
Like there are places that you can go where people know what the deal is. Like dogging. Right. Like, you know, these things get out there.
Dogging spots.
Yes. And so this was like a place where you went and you would be a single guy at the bar and people would go there to pick you up to fuck their wives. Like it was by agreement. It's an agreement. If that's what they're into, so be it, whatever.
Wow, could you imagine if you just ended up sitting at the wrong bar? Like you were in town for a conference.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were just a nice normal guy sitting at a bar and every like 5 minutes a couple would come along and start chatting you up and be like, oh, can I buy you a drink?
You look like
what
you
are you
work
doing
out
in town?
That's the husband and squeezing your biceps. The wife is drooling. You're like,
do you like to fuck my wife? Whoa!
So what's
you guys ask me
what's
that?
The idea of this? Jeez. Then are you squeezing your hog while some dude is humping your wife?
Yeah,
in
no,
front of you?
I think that's literally the fetish.
That is the ultimate ending. That's what happens. Some guy is just plowing your wife in your living room on the coffee table, and you're just sitting in your lazy boy.
Yeah,
cranking.
I mean, I feel like it's not that different. Like humiliation fetishes are a thing, right? Like look at those rich guys that like to get beaten up by dominatrixes or whatever. It's the same kind of
thing. Maybe she's the one who's leading it. Maybe he's not physically able. Like there's lots of little things that could lots of reasons.
Where does this stuff come from though? This has to stem from like previous like abuse or something like that, right? Like
I disagree.
It's just some people are just wired that way.
People are different,
right?
And there could be 100 reasons for it, and they'll give you a reason. You'll be like, oh, that sounds reasonable.
I mean, some of the stuff is really weird, like inflation fetish, where they like to get in a suit, pump it full of air, and get stuck in a corridor. Like that's a thing.
Sure.
These are all linked to like that rubbery balloony fetish and stuff, and latex and all these things that you can understand.
Have you ever heard of the comic book artist Robert Crumb?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So Robert Crumb, one of my favorite comic book artists. Fantastic. There was a fantastic documentary about him called Crumb.
Yeah, I remember.
Which is brilliant. Yeah. And it looks at his super fucking weird family. Now, he talks very openly in his comics about where his fetishes come from.
He used to draw, like, really overweight women and stuff. Like,
no. They weren't. It wasn't overweight that was the thing. It was very tall, strong women with big, thick thighs, big butts, and big boobs, right?
Yes,
like that.
Yeah,
there was a shape that he described as like the bean, where they're sort of shaped like a bean and their butt sticks out. Anyway, he was into very big, thick legs and boots. And the reason for that is one of his first sexual experiences when he was a kid, his aunt came over to the house, and as a little kid, he was rubbing up and down on her leg. And he's sort of like, holy shit, I'm really getting into this. And he never lost that. Like, that early experience formed his sexual identity as I am really into. Because imagine he's a little kid, so she was much bigger. So in his first sexual experience, he's confronted by a much bigger woman with big, thick thighs wearing leather boots. So that stuck with him. He never lost it. That was the one thing that he was obsessed with.
Right.
So I thought that was really interesting. And being someone who is into larger women myself, like the thick thighs, the big boobs, the big butts, Robert Crumb spoke to me on a very profound level when I was reading his comics. I was like a teenager and I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. But his comics are very funny, very weird. Some of it takes really weird turns and is bizarre. But in the documentary, you meet all these women that he's been with. And they talk about, yeah, he's a weird guy. It's just like, it's bizarre. Like, they're just like, yeah, he's a strange guy. He was into some weird stuff. He likes to ride around on their back and, like, get piggybacks and stuff like that. That's his thing. Now, if they're both into it, where's the harm?
No, I agree. I think, you know, like, if you find somebody who is into the same stuff as you and it's completely harmless, you're not kidnapping people and like subjecting them to things that they don't want to be and so on and so forth. I agree. I think go for it. If that's what you want to do, if that's how you want to spend your time, more power to you.
You know, I'm just thinking, you know, I don't mind, you know, if you want to use butter or maybe you should just use a butter that is less harmful to the world, you know, maybe because butter, you know, uses quite a lot of water. Like probably more than a shower, I would say.
So your problem with the butter thing is that you'd be like,
somebody could be eating that butter, but instead it's finding its way into a guy's asshole.
I'm fucking some butter. Well, have you thought about the environment?
Well, I'm just saying, if you get through a lot of butter, you know, maybe you should feel bad about it, and you should use some more, you know, ecologically friendly.
What's he going to use? Tofu. Go fuck some tofu, dude. Is that your message?
There is like soy butter. It's probably a lot better for the environment. You know,
I don't think this dude
might not have the same texture.
But this dude's butter fetish isn't what's setting us back in terms of the climate problem. It's not like there's a graph, like there's a pie chart somewhere showing industrial emissions, car pollution, butter up the butt, like is a slender sliver on that pie chart. I don't think it exists.
No, you're right. Also, you can't make a proper pie without proper butter as well. It just doesn't get the firm consistency that you need.
This is the problem. Yeah, this is.
Otherwise, you get a lot of crumbs.
This is it. Yeah.
Look, I think it's...
Listen, I've had another shower thought, okay? I want to share...
I didn't finish my story, I've just realized, but go ahead.
No, you go ahead then, okay. Go finish it.
All right, so it's not very nice, but he was at this...
Oh, yeah, no, hang on, because we were talking about Crumb, but you were talking about this guy who has sex with other people's wives in front of him.
Yeah, so that was one thing that he did.
Right.
But when he couldn't get any action, like he couldn't pick up any girls or anything, he would go to a massage parlor that was near him, and he would go there and have sex with the masseurs, or they would give him a handjob, whatever. So he goes in there, and this girl was jerking him off, and it was taking a long time, and she got fed up.
Right.
She was like, I'm done. I'm not doing anymore. So he's furious.
Her hand's tired.
Yeah, she got tired, which is understandable. So he was like, what are you talking about? He says, you got to finish. She's like, no. So he stomps out into the reception area with his boner out and starts shouting at the woman who runs the place. And she was like the older woman who'd obviously done this previously and was now just running the shop. She was like, fine, I'll finish you off. So she takes him back in. And
that's some dedication.
Fuck. Yes, but it's
you go out and complain to the manager and she's like,
come on then. But he's angry. She's angry. And I was like, why did you stick around? He was like, well, we paid for it. You know what I mean? He paid for this. So he was going to get his hand job regardless. His anger was not driven by anything other than, I paid for this service. You agreed to give me a hand job and now you're refusing. I just think it was such a bizarre scenario where she understood, well, yeah, he's right. I mean, he's got to get his hand job. But they both were like snarling at each other the whole time, like cursing each other out.
Well, I mean, you can understand, like, you know, you don't want no time wasters. If I'm giving a guy a hand job, right, and it's taking ages, and it's like, you know, how long's the limit? Like half an hour? Like an hour?
Yeah, where, like, do you draw the line?
There's got to be a line somewhere, you know. Whereas if she's just gotten tired after, you know, a couple of minutes and... What? I'm sorry. I'm going into this too deeply, but I'm just imagining, you know, they're trying to run a business. You know, there's a load of guys outside who are waiting to come in and do the things with the butter and all the other stuff. And you know,
actually,
do you know what? They need the big, thick bean lady to do the hand jobs because she's got like big, beefy.
Like a
wrists,
shot putter.
Right?
You want a female shot putter.
You need a shot putter to do the hand jobs.
Jesus, this
is what we should
Christ.
Be doing. We should be running the brothel like a proper industry.
Yeah.
She could do like 50 hand jobs an hour.
You know, way they've got, if you've been to IKEA, they have the chairs and they have the mechanical bottom that sits down in the chair to demonstrate how often, you know, you can sit like 10,000 sits and still going. Have you ever seen that? They could just have like a training regime like that of showing just how, you know, it's like a mechanical lady jerking a mechanical dick and showing you just how long we can do. If it takes you 2 hours, we can service that, sir. No problem. Well, why don't we open a brothel, guys? But it's all robots, so nobody gets hurt.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
fuck me, man.
They wouldn't know. We could just do it with like glory holes and stuff.
So this guy has sex with other people's wives in front of their husbands, goes to massage parlors to get hand jobs, hand jobs from people and stuff.
Really long, apparently.
Do you think somewhere out there there's a soulmate for this guy that we could maybe possibly like satisfy him entirely?
No.
Or there's no...
It's a very specific soulmate, isn't it? Someone like, who's already married.
He's just like a glutton for like weird degenerate activity. Like he was
an odd guy and he had a lot of he would get into hobbies very intently,
right?
So I think he's just a very compulsive person,
right?
So he would be like, I'm into kayaking, and he would just be talking constantly about kayaking. Like he would know everything about kayaking, he would buy all the best kayaking equipment, and then next month he's into something else. So I think he's just a compulsive guy.
I think that I can understand that. I can appreciate that. I think that we're the same, you know. We get into something and get really interested in it as humans. Like that's the thing we do, you know. We want to learn and be educated and get passionate about things. We want to find things to get passionate about. And if that guy's passion is hand jobs,
he's
then...
just looking for something. I don't think he knows what he wants because he's constantly finding new things. And I think essentially it's obviously not satisfying him because you can't be that into something and then abandon it a couple of months later. You were obviously never really passionate about it. You're still searching. You're desperate to find something to be passionate about.
Part of the joy of variety of the spice of life, you know, becoming, you know, finding... He's always waking up and it's Christmas morning, you know. He's
no,
like, bam,
I disagree.
Go kayaking today.
I think it's like he wakes up, it's Christmas morning, and none of the presents he got are what he really wants. But for Christmas Day... He feels this is the best present ever, but the next day he looks at it, he thinks, I don't actually like this. I think that's
the
problem.
I see. So what does he really want?
Exactly.
He wants a 3-hour hand job where the person never gets tired and finishes. That's what he wants for Christmas.
In a kayak.
In a kayak.
In a kayak, yeah.
Filled with butter.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Like they say like all this stuff about the spice of life and whatnot, but like... I don't know. It's like some of these experiences or, you know, like, you know, getting into like kayaking or getting into like golfing or getting into like, I don't know. Like, do they really count as experiences? Like, they're just
stuff to do.
They're just stuff to do, right? Like, you already have things that you probably like to do, you know, like some sort of hobby or whatever. So just getting a new hobby isn't really like a spice of life. I would say it's more like going somewhere to, like, you know, visit like a natural wonder of the world or something, you know, like a... So like a profound experience would be like a spice of life to me. I would, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's
I agree.
Just,
like you can't just think of a hobby or a pastime as this is what defines my life. I think it needs something else. I think really people are always just looking for something that they can be really passionate about. And once they find it, then it satisfies them to the point where they're happy to chill out a little more.
Yeah.
I feel like the people that are doing something different every single day, they think they're filling their life with stuff, but really,
yeah,
have they filled their life with anything meaningful?
It's weird because I feel like a lot of people would probably think that I have a really boring life, a really boring existence, but I've never really felt compelled to go and find new exciting things. I've always just been happy. I've always just been into the things I've been into, and I'm happy being into those things and whatever, and that's it. You know, like I feel like I've been fairly like content,
yeah,
like happy with my life decisions for like a long time now. Like, you know what I mean? It's not, yeah. I'm not like constantly looking for something new or whatever. I don't know.
But I'll tell you what, I do. I was thinking the other day about maybe trying to play golf. It's the kind of thing middle-aged men do. Yeah. There's a golf course near me. It's not expensive or exclusive. Could go there, knock some balls around. It might be fun.
It might be.
Might be fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, I'm sure it probably is fun. I feel like with some of this stuff, it's like, there's got to be some context behind it, right? There's got to be something that gets you into it in the first place. Like,
right.
It's necessary for something. Like, you know, like.
Also, I think if you could spend time with a friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that was part of it was, he's my golfing buddy. So it's a chance to go out, hang out with someone for a couple of hours, play golf, have a chat, go to the bar afterwards, and then go back. Like, it would be a nice little break up to the week sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I would be going by myself. Which would be kind of sad.
Well,
like I wouldn't really want to just golf alone.
I don't know if that's really sad, though. I'm at the point in my life where I'm quite happy to do almost everything alone.
Yeah,
now.
But I worry I would look sad. You know what I mean? I wouldn't care. I would happily golf
Have you ever
alone.
Gone to... You've gone to, like... Have you gone to the movies before on your own?
All the time. Like, I love it.
Same. Like, I have no problem just, like, doing stuff on my own. Even though I have, like, a family and stuff, I'm still quite happy to...
Oh, yeah.
To occasionally just do things just on my own. Like, I like that sort of solitude, and it just gives you time to think and stuff, too.
I right? spent a week playing Kingdom Come. Deliverance, Kingdom Come. Oh, Kingdom Come, Deliverance. I played it for, like, 10 hours a day.
Right.
Alone up here. I would start at 9, guess about 4 or 5 o'clock, and I'd stop. I did that for, like, a week almost. And at no point did I think, man, I've really been on my own a long time. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, even though I mean, I love my wife and my family. I love them. But I also don't mind being alone.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't know what that is. Maybe that's our age or something. I don't know. It's just like,
nah,
never feel like worried about it either. Like,
No.
I think it is a contentment thing, right? Like, I don't feel like I need, like, new people. I don't feel like I need new things. Like, I've got stuff that I like, I'm passionate about, and that's like enough for me sort of thing, you know?
I think when you're talking about experiences that are designed for a single player, like reading a book, then it's not unusual to do them on your own. I think that when you're talking about something like, I don't know, going to play a football match and then or like, you know, you need to bring a five-a-side team to that or whatever, turning up on your own isn't going to work. Or things that, I don't know, turning up to like...
Ballroom dancing alone.
A couple's swinging session, you know, without a partner. Like, I don't know. Like, some people, obviously, maybe that works for them and they're confident enough to pull it off. But,
I think it's different. I guess it's like, I mean, I'm sure we've spoken about this before, but like, when you have like a wife or a husband and you have kids and stuff, your social quotas for a day are met almost instantly. You know, like within like 5 seconds of you waking up, you've already... had a bunch of conversations with people. You've had to like sort things out. You've had to get
you've
kids.
Had hugs.
You've had yeah. yeah. You've had you had hugs and like and everything. You know, like I don't know any other dads who feel lonely. You know what I mean? Like, if anything, most of the dads I know,
they wanna be
want
alone.
More time alone. yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I guess it's part of having you know, like a partner. Children,
it's like
all that
having
kind of stuff.
It's like having money in your wallet that you don't necessarily need to spend, but it's nice to know it's there.
Yeah,
I think having the family there, ready for affection and attention, you go down and give them a hug and have a laugh. Ah, daddy's here, hey. That's nice to have. Yeah. And I definitely like every like in the afternoon we'll hang out, in the evening we'll hang out. But I'm working during the day and I'm working in the evening. But that's fine. It's like I don't need to be around them constantly, and they don't need to be around me constantly.
Yeah.
I like that.
That kind of alone together. I mean, that's the very much. The wow kind of idea that you're playing a single player experience with other people. And it's also the best board games too, those German designed board games where You sit around a table with friends and have very minimal interaction. Yeah.
No fighting at all. Very German board game. Yeah. Maybe we trade some coal.
Occasionally, one of you will be like, oh, has anyone got any? you've gone there, have you? Okay, I'll do this then. It's like, you know, Germany is
very relaxing.
Chill as fuck. And I think that is
There's good. Different types of like relationships, partnerships and stuff. Like, I don't know like what you guys are like when you have like partners or married or whatever, but like, with like me and my wife, we've got our own stuff, right? Like she's interested in things that I'm not at all interested in. And likewise, you know, like she's never been into games. She doesn't really care for them at all. So she never pursues that, or she's never gotten into that because I was into it or anything like that. You know what I mean? But in a funny way, it's been like a strong point of our relationship that we both have things like to do.
Right, right.
That we don't have to just be in each other's face all the time. You know what I mean? You're not constantly tripping over each other, like sharing the same hobbies, sharing the same everything.
You both have to have independently awesome lives that are enhanced even more when you come together.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be like this thing where neither of you
I would feel so smothered, like being with somebody who had to do everything the same as how I do. You know, like what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I wouldn't enjoy having a partner who was as into video games as me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be weird.
It would be weird. But like, I know that it's not weird. I know that there's lots of people out there who have that and it's wonderful for them or whatever. I'm just saying for me personally,
I would tell you what,
that's not something that I would enjoy.
The one game that Mrs. F is super into and always has been since it came out and plays it now with the new version, Animal Crossing.
Really? Okay.
She loves Animal Crossing. And all the girls play it. Maddie plays it and the two girls play it constantly. So like she was working yesterday. She's been working really hard over lockdown, working from home. She's like, oh, I'm going to take a break. She lies on our bed and she grabs her Switch or my daughter's Switch and just starts Animal Crossing. And I was watching it and I can see why she likes it. Like, it's not for me at all. I looked at it and I was like, nah, like, boring.
But it doesn't have to be. It's like saying that watching Disney films is not for you,
right,
or watching horror
films
is not for you.
But if they want to watch it,
like, yeah, sure, of course it's not for you. It's like, it's not really, that's not, it doesn't have to be.
Of course.
Like,
but I just watched it and I thought, this, I can see why
she
likes it. Because it's like, you go around and collect things.
Yeah.
The animation for putting stuff in your pocket, I love.
Yeah.
Like, she found a great white shark. Wink! I found a great white shark. And then she goes, puts it in her pocket. And I was like, that's really cool. Like, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
On the topic of liking things, not liking things, or things being designed for you not to like or whatever, I was sure, okay, I was 100% positive that I did not need the game Hitman in my life at any point in my life.
Oh, really?
I was quite happy to just not play that game for whatever reason. I just never liked, it just never appealed. Like I didn't really like, it did nothing for me. I saw trailers and stuff. It's whatever.
That's okay. You don't have to justify
whatever,
it.
You know?
Understand.
And then
he's bald.
So I got,
I get
so
it.
I got Hitman 2.
You couldn't imagine yourself being a bald guy. I understand.
No, that's it. I don't like it. It's unnatural.
It's weird.
Anyway, I got the demo version of Hitman 2, you know, like the first mission that you can play it for free or whatever. So I was like, fine, whatever. I'm going to give this a try. This is months ago. I give it a try and I was it confirmed all my suspicions. I was like, this just isn't for me. I don't really get it. I don't know what to do, sort of thing. Like I don't feel like I can do the things that I really want to do in this game, whatever.
You came in with a bad attitude.
I came in with a terrible attitude. Yeah.
You maintained that attitude.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Carry on.
So recently, I just finished playing through LA Noire on stream, because I'd never finished it before. So I finished it.
Great game.
And I thought it was pretty good. I had some gripes, but it was very good. And so I was looking for something to play, scrolling through my list. I see Hitman 2. I was like, Hitman 2? Ah, fuck it. Let's try it out, right? Like I'd played the demo. I didn't really like it. I'd played 24 minutes of the game or whatever. It just wasn't for me. No appreciation for Hitman. Holy crap. I'm like 17 hours in. how did I not appreciate this game? It's fucking amazing. It's amazing. I'm having so much fun playing it. It's great. It's so good.
Like, yeah, it's weird because you kind of, it's a weird game too. Like, it's not what you necessarily think
I never appreciated that it was just a murder sandbox. Like, I just never.
Yeah,
it is. The levels are huge. It's just really fun.
You can like cook, you can put like some, you can make someone mess up the pufferfish cooking of their sushi and poison them with fugu.
I drowned a woman in a toilet. Where has this game been my whole life? It was amazing. I've been having so much fun playing it. It's just been such an awesome game, such a great experience. It's expensive because of the way that they've done the DLC and everything. I think I paid £90 for.
Good God!
Yeah, all of the missions, the legacy missions, everything.
You've got to just wait for the gold.
Well, I missed out. It was on sale during the Steam Summer Sale, but I missed it. So I just got into it at the wrong time, I guess. But.
Wow! Can we just give a shout out to Sips for spending £90 on a game he thought he might hate, and he'd also played the demo of?
Well,
and
no,
hated.
Actually,
just can
I
we just spent, get some respect
okay,
for that
no,
decision?
I bought it after. Properly playing through the demo mission.
Right.
I wasn't going to buy it. I thought I would still hate it, but I got to the end of it and I thought, hang on a second. Like, it clicked for me, even just in that demo mission, something clicked. And I was like, actually, this is really good. I could really get into like more missions and stuff. And sure enough, fuck the missions. Some of the levels are great. Like the fucking suburban American one, you know, with the old dude in the house and stuff. I fucking love that map. Like I love that you can go back and do different styles and there's challenges and I just think it's great. I just can't praise it enough.
You know what I'm tempted to play is this Death Stranding that's just come out on Steam.
Yeah, Rav's gifted it to me saying that it was really good. I have to play it.
Gifted it to you?
Yeah, he did.
What a generous guy. Jeez.
I know. What a guy, eh? So I'm going to play it next.
It's like 60 quid.
It's meant to be pretty
good. Is it 60 quid?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, that's
just
the price you should pay for games these days.
Fuck off.
You know, games haven't changed their price for like 30 years, PFLEX.
60 quid. I never paid. Until Hitman 2, I'd never paid 60 quid for a game.
No, but there's a bunch of these games that were console exclusive. You see, Death Stranding is one of them, but also Detroit Being Human,
right?
Control, stuff like this, like stuff that was good last year that ended up coming out now on PC, either Epic exclusive or Death Stranding on Steam. But no, Death Stranding, it's a weird game. You'll like it, Sips. I think I don't know if you'll love it, but you'll definitely like it.
Rav sort of sold it as
no opinion about whether I'll like it. I was the one who said I was going to buy it. You tell Sips, he thinks...
You're a tricky customer, like, Flax. It's hard to judge what you will like.
You are, I know that Sips will like anything.
Because you've liked games in the past that I've thought were total garbage, but equally you've liked games that I've loved as well. So,
name a game that I liked that you thought was
games
garbage.
Games that I was sure that you would like based on other games that you've liked and you've hated. I can't think of any examples, but I'm sure that this is happening.
Neither can I.
You've just got a notion that this is
anecdotally
true.
We're sure about.
Yes.
It.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So the TLDR of that is you're a tricky customer.
Tricky customer.
When it comes to games, yeah.
I reckon there's loads of really good games I can recommend to you, actually.
I just bought a game that it's called Urtuk the Desolation.
Oh, God. Right. Yeah, I didn't really enjoy that.
Oh,
but it's okay.
You've been
it's
playing
right.
it. I mean, it looks like my kind of game because I really like those kind of grindy... build up lads, get cards, get items, that kind of thing. I like
it's really
that.
Hard.
I'm really
I couldn't get beyond the first couple of zones.
Personally,
actually.
I'm really sick of deck builder games now, card games.
I'm still not.
I just find that there's so many of them and I just
I've been enjoying playing Monster Train. Have you played
I've
that?
Heard it's
no,
really good.
I didn't like the look of it.
And I've heard that Dicey Dungeons is very good as well, but
Dicey Dungeons is amazing.
I just can't I'm sure I will play them at some point and I probably will love them as well, but I don't know. Again, I don't know about you guys, but every once in a while, I go into a rut with genres.
My problem with Monster Train was the art style looked exactly like Slay the Spire. So I thought, well, this is...
I think that's the point.
This is thievery.
You know, Slay the Spire sold millions and millions of copies, and it was
just
relatively cheap to make.
It was such a good game.
I'll pop it on
my wish list. All right, there we
play
go.
Flax, I'm going to make my own game, okay, with you in mind, all right? Okay. I'm going to add a whole bunch of stuff into this game that I know you're going to like. And I want you to be the primary influencer for this game, okay? The game is going to be called Dude Sim Alaska, okay?
Okay.
Right? It's about a guy or a girl, both a guy or a girl can be a dude. Okay, you're going to be doing dude-esque things in it, but not like dude Brad, like you know, summer vacation or whatever.
Right, right.
I mean, dude, like you're living off the land in Alaska. Okay, it doesn't matter like what gender you are. You rock up. Okay, it's going to be like imagine Red Dead 2. Okay. You're imagining Red Dead 2?
Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful outdoors
loved
and stuff.
Loved it. One of my favorite games of all time.
What's the budget for this?
You have to build yourself a log cabin by hand. You have to place every single log.
Okay.
You got to like, you know, make the rope and stuff like that. You have to go out and do some hunting. You have to survive. You have to get better at hunting. You have to get better at skinning animals and stuff. You can find parts to a car while you're out there because it's like modern day. You've chosen to go and live in.
You're off the grid.
The wilds of Alaska. Yeah, you're sick of modern society and stuff. So you're just going to do your own thing.
But you're
going to
build a car.
Well, while you're out there, you find pieces of cars and of a car and stuff. So you have in your garage that you build yourself with your own bare fucking hands.
Right.
Regardless of your gender. You can start building a car. So all these mini games within the game are going to be based on real games. So like, it'll be my summer car, but it'll be inside Dude Sim Alaska. You see what I mean? So you'll have this opportunity to build a car. You have a bike that you can like go to town and trade your pelts and get some money and you could buy more car parts if you want, or you could just ignore the car completely. You can get a hunting rifle that you can grease up and you can refurbish and pimp out if you want. You can decorate your house. You can make like a trophy room. You can go fishing. You can do whatever you want. It's going to be beautiful. And it's never going to be completed because the budget is going to be so astronomical. But one day, if by chance it's ever created, Flax, I want you to play it and sell it for me, okay?
Give it a shitty review.
No. So, I want you to be the ultimate unit shifter, Flax.
I don't think I could.
You don't like the sound of this?
It doesn't sound like my kind of game, I'll be honest with you. I mean,
we'll recommend it to you and you won't like it. Exactly. Yeah. Perfect. See,
there we
this
go.
Is exactly
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha.
You proved your point. Yeah. Well done, Sips. Thank you for listening to the Trifles podcast this week. We'll see you guys next week with more Drivel Chat. I hope you enjoy your shower, Sips.
Hopefully we don't talk about prostitutes too much next time.
I didn't start it.
That was fairly miserable. Yeah, sorry about that.
Who did start it?
You.
Me?
It was
pretty
you.
Sure.
I'm sure it was, actually, yeah.
No, I was just doing the wanking in the shower. That was me.
Yeah, you started.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For sure.
Yeah.
That was perfectly innocent. I'm not responsible. All right, thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Live, love, laugh. Go fuck yourself.